Andy, good evening.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, very well.
Well, that's freaking fabulous. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Uh-huh.
And I've got my own radio show 5 nights a week. And you've been talking a little bit about conspiracy theories tonight, mate. And I wanted to say that I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm damn proud of it. And I saw you kind of alluding to the fact that you're a bit of a conspiracy theorist yourself, but you told us some were a bit abashed.
I was a bit abashed about it. I don't think it's a very positive way. I think you're on the back foot straight away. So I like to say I'm pro-truth.
Well, indeed. And I feel
because
that
words. I think words are very, very powerful things. And I think the way that you word things can be more can work against you or in your favour more than the argument itself sometimes.
Well, let's try and understand the term conspiracy theorist. Do you know who coined the term?
No.
It was Richard Milhouse Nixon when he was talking about Woodward and Bernstein exposing him over the Waterhouse affair. He said, they're just conspiracy theorists.
Speaking of lying
pricks.
Yeah.
All right? That's where the term came from, and it's a demonizing mechanism to instantly discredit anybody. If somebody tells the truth and you don't want that truth to go out, you can't tell the truth back at them because it'll only confirm what they're saying. Instead, you have to use the ad hominem argument to say you're a conspiracy theorist, and because of the negative connotation that's been built up, that person gets instantly discredited. I'm of the opinion that a conspiracy theorist, in the main, is a person who knows the truth about what's going on in our society and is very upset with it.
I think you've got to be careful you don't sound like a presumptuous dick when you say that. I don't mean take that wrong, but I know exactly what you're saying. But when you say that you know the truth, you don't know because you weren't there or you don't have the you weren't part of it. But you have the right to ask the questions and you have the right to believe what you want to believe.
Well, it depends who you're asking the questions of. For example, I interviewed Dr. Judy Wood, who is a Bachelor of Science major and a PhD in physics and quantum theory and all of that kind of stuff. And she believes that 9/11 wasn't all that it appears. And she's come up with a book called Where Did the Towers Go? It's an 800-page book with upwards of 700 photographs of the most amazing stuff that you could ever conceive of. Do you know what the process of dustification is?
Mm-hmm.
You know how the towers kind of like just sort of poofed into dust?
In 11 seconds? Those big buggers dropped down in 11 seconds? And now half of New York's got it in their lungs?
Indeed, and the EPA said to the first responders that dust was safe to breathe. Even though a year or two before, Nikkal Contractors, a good contracting company here in New Zealand, was called in for a bid on the refitting of the World Trade Center to remove all the asbestos. And they were going to do that, even though it was more expensive than their preferred option of controlled demolition. Okay, and I have this from the actual source itself. And again, it depends who you ask the questions of. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the whole concept of truth in our society has become very muddied. Have you noticed that
I was going to give as an example. You know, the political landscape in New Zealand at the moment is that you ask the Prime Minister a question, he gives an answer. And everyone just walks away. It's like, hang on, well, can somebody press him on the answer? Because so often he'll give a I don't think New Zealanders are really that interested in that. I think they're more interested in this. And someone needs to say, no, we're interested in that man. Can you just answer the question? Because guess what? That's what your job is.
Well, guess what happens when you do that, though? You get thrown out of the meetings. I got contacted by a listener of mine down in Wellington the other day, and one of his friends was at a National Party meeting.
And he said to
Bill English, why did you ignore the report that came out by the Law Commission saying that cannabis is a less harmful drug than alcohol? And they threw him out of the meeting. You know, this is the thing about this about our country, which I really love. And I'm a patriot and I love my people. I love my country. And I don't want to see it go ill. But it seems every time I turn on the news, that's all that I see. And listening to you guys tonight talking about these conspiracy theorists talking about the aspartame. And by the way, it was 14 cameras that got shut off inextricably on the Princess Diana meeting, and the paparazzo that was supposedly following them around that night was found dead, burnt to death in a car with accelerants all over him.
And did you know that's the only time in the whole of history that's ever happened in Europe that someone's killed himself, or allegedly killed himself, by burning themselves in their own car? In the whole of Europe, ever. That's the only time that anyone's ever allegedly done that.
Well,
that's pretty weird, isn't it?
There was another one about the Princess Diana. The Slobodan Milosevic was going to be assassinated. The MI5 or MI6, I forget which one, as far as I'm concerned, they're all pyramid-worshipping scum anyway. But essentially, they had this plan to get rid of Slobodan Milosevic back during the Kosovo War in a tunnel using a big, bright flashlight that would disorient the driver and crash the car and hence killing him. And there's many people who postulate that that's what exactly the methodology they used with Diana. What the motive is, I'm not sure. Mohammed Al-Fayed, the former gun runner, I'm not 100% sure if he's a credible person, but he certainly thinks it was a conspiracy. And, of course, as with most conspiracies, they get thrown out of court because they're conspiracies, right? Simply on that basis. And the word conspiracy is defined as two or more people coming together to cause harm on another person or another group of people without them knowing about it. Now, if you were to think about politics, let's say take the National Party.
I was going to say it sounds like ACT. But yeah.
Well, that's interestingly enough why they call themselves ACT, because that's all it is.
I imagine that you broach these subjects on a daily basis.
On my international radio show. I'm on 26 AM FM stations.
All right, Mr. Free Ad.
Mostly on United States bands, and we've got a station down in Invercargill that carries the show, a few in Ireland, a few in England. And what I've found is that conspiracy theorists have now become a very globally oriented force. And it seems to me as though there is a new power rising in politics, where we understand that politics is like boxing. You got to watch out for the left jab and the right hook.
Isn't it as simple as saying, liar, liar, when they're lying? Shouldn't it be that simple? You're lying. Tell the truth. Surely.
You're precisely correct, Mike.
If they're going to behave like five-year-olds, and you treat them like five-year-olds. What I wanted to just ask you before, though, is that would you agree that, if you come at people with too much information about this sort of thing at once, you do way more harm than good, don't you? I've got a very, very good friend who got along with he had a mental condition anyway, but he got right into it, and it tipped him over the edge.
Yeah,
he's never ever been the same, and it's a shame, because he's been one of my greatest friends, and he's actually a very, very, very smart guy, and it just all it filled up his brain, and he just sort of took it and ran with it from the very get go, and he really knocked himself out of the park on it for good, and it's quite worrying, you know. And conversely, it's that thing too of, you know, sometimes you just want to say one sentence and let people get their heads around it, because some people, the idea that diet drinks might be bad for them, it's going to take them a couple of weeks to get their head round.
Well, you know, here's the point.
Let alone September 11 and
everybody,
whatever.
Everybody has a certain amount of suspicion in their daily lives. And some people, their suspicion drifts more towards religion, some more towards health, some more towards politics, some more towards finance. And when you're approaching somebody with a conspiracy theory, you're precisely correct. You can throw out 100 different ones, and there's far more than 100, because I interview people of a very eclectic conspiratorial research point of view, including former CIA agents, former members of the Montauk Project, which dabbled in mind control and all sorts of other weird stuff, right? And
already there, already just in that those couple of sentences there, that is a hell of a lot for some people to get their heads around. People that just come back from getting the shopping and are thinking about getting the kids off school tomorrow morning, or have had a big week dealing with, you know, something at work and something like that, to get their heads around that for some people. And it doesn't mean that they're simple or anything. It's a lot to take in for people who haven't thought about it before, you know?
Oh, yeah, and it takes a long, long, long time to come to, say, you're a balanced individual, Mike, if you don't mind me saying.
Can I
ask you a question?
My wheels wobble now and then, don't worry about that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you very social? Do you hang out with lots of different people all the time?
Yes, I do.
That is how you've remained stable. When conspiracy theorists fill their head full of this conspiracy junk, they stop associating with people unless they're conspiracy theorists. They stop thinking about what's good with their family. They stop playing cards with them. They stop going out drinking.
They stop talking
to people. They stop communicating.
I think, as when that lady that called earlier on talking about obesity, I think the most, and this is what I was trying to get across to my friend who unfortunately it got the better of him, I think the most important thing at the end of the day, did you have a nice day today? Did you have a great day today? Did you get through today feeling okay? Because that's first and foremost, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And then save the world, you know? But just make sure that you're not. I don't want to open too many doors here because we're talking enough as it is. But
okay, so let's keep it specifically. Let's just focus on other people. We need to have
a chat though as well. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd really like to actually meet you in person and sit down and have a coffee with you, Mike.
Imagine if I was a robot and this whole thing was a ruse. Then you wouldn't think it was that funny, would you, Benny?
But on 9/11, what was the very strange incident? And my famous saying is that 9/11 has more red flags than the entire country of China. Did you know that 5 out of the 19 hijackers are actually still alive and victims of identity theft?
How about Donny Rumsfeld saying on September the 10th, the afternoon of September the 10th, hey, Ministry of Defence, Defence Department's, we can't sort of account for $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And then the next day, the attack on the Pentagon just happens to hit the exact part of the Pentagon where all the information pertaining to that missing money's gone.
Okay. What a coincidence.
How about
what
that?
About the
yeah.
Israeli shipping company that moved out of the World Trade Center one week before 9/11 and they broke their lease?
What about the old guy who re-signed that massive lease? Silverstein there. And what about the fact that the guy who did the insurance deal was George Bush's cousin?
Indeed, and it was 6 weeks before 9/11 that Larry Silverstein took out extra terrorism insurance.
I've actually taken that out myself. Actually,
guess how much money he put down for the entire 100-year contract on the World Trade Center complex? Guess how much money he put down?
How much?
$1.
Fair deal.
And then he gets a big insurance payout, which pays for the whole gig.
Thank you, Vinny. All the best.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.